We need to talk.
In a somewhat friendly manner.
So make the call.
A colorful call.
884-9910. News and talk. Live and local. The Weekend. On News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Yeah, hello. John Potter live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon. Thank you, Craig Swelp, for the forecast. Our current temperature is 70 degrees in Reno. On the Fox News newscast, you heard the update there on the National Guard, Washington, D.C. So let's get this straight. Because of President Trump, Washington, D.C. has a new federalized police force, the National Guard, and Chicago looks to be next. They're going to get assistance from the feds, like they do, you know, fixing the roads and stuff. And I'm just how do you sign up? How do you sign up for this? Because I wonder if the president would like to federalize your home. You know what? They would be in charge of mowing the grass and maybe cleaning the pool or fixing the air conditioning. I don't know. Kind of seems like a win-win. You know, just put it out there for thought. 884-9910. I do have a question. I do want some feedback on this because I'm in the dark about how is our local Nevada, Reno area economy right now. I mean, really, I've heard this is a frequent thing I have heard lately from people I know about their jobs. They cut my hours. I've been laid off. Our business is closing. The Latino guys who work our yard every 2 weeks, they suddenly have a lot more time for us now. They say their hours were drastically cut from their employer, a landscape company. And yet this week, the latest economic report said consumer spending has actually gone up. U.S. consumer spending increased by the most in 4 months last July. It rose 0.5% last month after gaining some the same amount in June, according to the Commerce Department. Motor vehicle purchases led the broad rise in spending. People are, what? With the price of cars now? And this came out just yesterday. Strip casinos saw a 5.6% increase in gaming revenue in July in Nevada, a positive indicator for a tourism market that has recently attracted its fair share of bad headlines. So is the media wrong again? You know, which one is true here? What do you see? I from what I observed 5 years ago, when prices started going up and up and up, I mean, 5 years, that I use the Pringles can as the indicator, because I think 5 years ago was the last time the Pringles can was 99 cents, and it hasn't been that way in 5 years or so. That is my personal indicator, the Pringles can. But prices have gone up and up and up since. And, you know, Vegas, we've heard, is outrageous now. 5 years ago, I was wondering how some families were getting by. 5 years ago, I was thinking, oh my gosh, they can't squeeze more money from their wallets now. And that was 4 or 5 years ago. Yet today, people are still spending according to the, you know, people and, you know, who count the numbers. And just yesterday, the latest gaming numbers for July came out for the state, and they are very good. The Gaming Control Board reports Reno gaming revenue up almost 10% in 1 month to $76.1 million. Sparks Casinos had a 3.3% increase to $15.6 million. Las Vegas Strip Casinos had a 5.6% increase in July. The largest increase was in State Line, South Lake Tahoe, which jumped 21.5%. I don't know what they're doing there, but wow. Statewide, July brought a 4% gaming revenue increase to the state. I don't understand how prices, and especially looking at cars now, can be this high and for the spending to keep rising. Have Americans been hoarding cash? Not anyone I know. But what they tell us, yeah. It's just a strange dichotomy. It's a puzzling division, a high contrast between is it good or is it bad? Two things that are represented as being so different. Paradox. Okay, that might be a better word. I don't think you're going to find an answer to this, but if you want to tackle this one, go for it. It just has me puzzled, you know? 884-9910 is our phone number. Also, is this true? Speaking of the economy and how outrageously expensive Las Vegas is, maybe that's why Reno went and South Lake Tahoe went up so much higher than Vegas did. Vegas only going up 3-something%, Reno 10%, South Lake Tahoe State Line Casinos up over 20%. Las Vegas, it turns out, is almost flat. And it's because I hear from everybody it's way too expensive. Oh, my gosh, I couldn't believe it. Last time we went, we stayed at a very well-known casino hotel. Okay, they have people here in Reno. I don't want to name things out. But, my gosh, I was paying a lot of money for this room in Las Vegas. And guess what? You have to pay, even though you're a hotel guest, you have to pay to park in their garage connected to their building. But I'm a customer. I'm a guest. You don't charge your guest $25 a day for parking, but boy, they sure did. Anyway, is this true? At one of the Las Vegas Steak and Shakes, well, there could be more than one. I think there is, but in at least one, and they put the picture up somewhere on the internet, they have a kiosk where you order your meal, just like McDonald's has been doing this for over a year. I can't stand their kiosk. But anyway, this Steak and Shake kiosk, after you go through all the steps to order your food, the last screen comes up and it asks, add tip? Select the amount of tip you would like to add to your order. And it has, you know, the 20%, the 22%, the 25%. That's what the picture shows. And it has a no tip button also. But now the kiosk wants a tip? Is this the AI machine's idea to do this? We've come to the point already where we tip the machine, the kiosk. Listen, I hardly know this machine. The machine didn't even smile at me. Folks, I'm not making this up. And if Steak and Shake is doing this, you're going to see it elsewhere. This is the beginning of another horrifying and very disturbing trend. The kiosk wants a tip. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the kiosk deserves a tip? 884-9910 is our phone number. 775-884-9910. Now, I know most folks, they don't really call talk radio. They text, and I'll bet you anything. I haven't checked it yet. I get probably 30 texts like I usually get from people making the comments. But I'd love to hear your voice on these things, too. All right. I did promise to be the last radio talk show host who would say anything about Cracker Barrel. I think I'm going to cap it. I'm going to cap that subject. So that wrap is going to be after the break, because I went there and I did my own little informal study, and it did get in the news again as they backtracked what they, you know, were going to do. And I want to dive from there. I'm going to use it as a trigger point to spring what is the best cafe, or what do you call those? Not cafe. It's not coffee shop, is it? No, it's not that. Grill. There's a word. it's a diner. There you go. Diner. The best diners are the ones where you have to drive a little bit to get to, too. So we could combine like a, one day trip and stuff like that. But the little towns have the best diners, unless there's something I don't know about around here. And you can tell us about that. 884-9910. Going to take a break. You could call on whatever. Our next guest is the 13-year-old prodigy who goes to UNR and is a classical music aficionado. I'm not top form today. You'll have to forgive me. 884-9910, our number. It's 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1017.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk True.
Hello? 884-9910, our number. John Potter live and local. It's 1020, 20 minutes after 10 o'clock. And check of the temperature as we head toward close to 90 near the end of August. I know, that's very odd. Let's see here. Current temperature in the Reno area, 71 degrees. I got to bring up the heat, too, a little bit later on today. Cracker Barrel backed off their plans, of course, and the post from the CEO sounded like a little surprise. There was such passion. Oh, I love our customers. You're so passionate about it. Well, yeah, you turned loose two signature pieces of your branding, and it was really blowback from what was really part of an ongoing effort, although she will not admit it, over the past several years by her Cracker Barrel to improve its score with progressive organizations. That will give companies scores about how woke those companies are or aren't. And companies literally strive to improve their woke score, right? We've seen it, which is interesting because on the restaurant floor of Cracker Barrel, I'm not sure that very many of those customers are woke. I think most of the people who pushed for the change in the logo haven't cast a shadow on a Cracker Barrel door ever. I doubt very much they were the customers. I mean, last time I was there, very recently, but about a month ago, it was good. Why it reminds me of the old Howard Johnson restaurants, I don't know. But you walk in, you trip over stuff in the country store, but I want it to be the way it was the first time I was there, when I go back to my hometown. And I want all the women to still look like they're still 18, too. But it's a tough thing because their business was declining. I think a lot of it was service. They were always known, had a good reputation for great waitresses. And does God make good waitresses anymore? But the people I know who go to Cracker Barrel, they like it. Cracker Barrel is Southern food. There's Southern food there and soul food there too. And the customers, you have a lot of white people, many black people, a lot of happy people. It's a good place to go. They are folks who are generally morally conservative in there. Not the bull crap about politics, but just people who, they like that kind of food. And maybe that's what they were raised with in their home, country food. And it's also my experience, very good food. And the one thing, although people tell me it's not what it used to be. And the one thing that these companies have to understand is remember who your customers are. You go to Cracker Barrel. You're going to have people with small town roots, people who like simple, straightforward food, people who like the Americana, and you will have a lot of working class white people and a lot of working class black people in there, and they're going to be sitting there enjoying their meal as they have for 20 or 30 years. And if you screw that up, then shame on you. One thing I don't get is these people are supposed to be so smart at business. When was it a good idea to split your customer base in half? Like, if I own a restaurant, Potter's Bar and Grill, oh, don't worry, I'll never do it. I want everybody to eat there, right? I'm just going to serve you good food and drink, take good care of you, and hopefully you'll tell your friends and come back. I'm here to take care of customers. Then that is the right attitude, and I wish every business and every entertainer, performer, would take that stance, because you eat the food, and that has nothing to do with anybody's politics or anybody's attitudes. That's comfort food. That is back home. You just sit down. You relax. Everybody's your neighbor. Everybody's your pal. I don't want any damn politics. Just eat your okra and have a great time. And it's just an interesting thing, you know, that old line about go woke, go broke. Turns out to be very true in the American marketplace, and it proved to be true at Cracker Barrel, whose executives forgot who their customers were for a while. Now, remember a week ago, last Saturday, I told you folks to buy the Cracker Barrel stock because they hammered it. You know, when they first took Uncle Herschel off, I said, I would buy that. I'm not into stocks. I'm too dumb. But what happened? They backtracked and the stock skyrocketed back up again. You could have bought low there. Anyway, you don't listen. But... all is well and good now. I think the food is very good, although they took, I do have a complaint. They took the Sunrise sampler off the menu. That was two eggs, a meat of your choice, a hash brown casserole. That's right. They do a hash brown casserole, fried apples, and biscuits and gravy, and it was off the menu. You know what? I'm used to not looking at the menu and being cool and going, I'll have a sweet tea and a sunrise sampler. I'm sorry, sir, that's no longer on the menu. They have another sampler, but it's not the sunrise. And I thought the sunrise sampler was very popular, so I was really surprised to see that off the new menu. You can get a margarita now at Cracker Barrel. This just makes me hungry for chicken fried steak, talking about that. Who else makes that? And makes it very well. And better yet, and this is where I dovetail into what I think is going, because I don't care about the radio, you know. I want to know personally, what are the best diners around right now? What place do you like? You know, as an old fat man, I really like to go to diners. And it's summertime, and, you know, we live in a particularly beautiful part of the world, and going for a drive on a Saturday is not such an unpleasant thing at all, especially having a fun destination. Hey, we're going to go here and see this, and we're going to get breakfast or lunch, and we're going to drive this way to get there. Those little adventures and these little road trips are great. So I'm hoping with your assistance to put together a list of possible dinner, breakfast too, suggestions to go to. I think Emmendon, which is a beautiful town, lots of stuff there, a good main street to just go drive around and see some interesting shops. And my favorite diner there, the Cowboy Cafe. And not far from there, there are some cool, like, interesting thrift shops and neat collectibles. And if you go further south into Gardnerville, love Woodette's Diner. And from there, you can walk to the Carson Valley Museum and do a self-guided tour. Great, interesting displays on our local history. But diners, if you have a recommendation of a regional diner to go to that people can take a little road trip to call up and, hey, let's get off this politics. It's freaking Saturday in the summer, and it's a beautiful day, and there are far more enjoyable things to talk about. That's me. Let's go to the phone, 884-9910. Good morning, Richard. Hiya, Richard from Sparks.
Hey, John, how are you today?
It's a good one, my friend.
Good to talk with you.
Yes, sir.
I wonder what statistical poll that these financial or accounting departments for these businesses are using with these figures. They seem to be false,
Okay, so you're talking about the local economy thing I got into where they said consumer spending is way up and the Nevada Gaming Control Board said gaming was way up in July. Oh, my gosh, 10% Reno, 25% South Lake State
that's
Line.
High.
What do you say, Richard? You kind of doubt those figures?
Yeah, I doubt the substance of those figures. If people are using credit cards, are easier to get nowadays. If people are putting everything on credit, going to the ATM and drawing out cash and increasing that amount, that seems to be a false positive, if you will.
It just blew my mind to read that people are buying more cars now. I
know.
I thought people were strapped years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, what can you do, my friend? I appreciate your call, Richard. Thanks so much. Let's go to John calling from Sparks at 884-9910. Hey, John, I'm glad you called. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Thank you, John Potter. You are too old. I'm just saying it out loud. Nobody said it so far today, I figured I'd be the nice guy.
No, I replaced the word old with more statesmanlike. That's the new word, statesmanlike. Anyway, go ahead, John.
Well, I think we're both about the same age. I prefer to say I'm leveling up on a regular basis.
Leveling up. Okay. Thank you. Got it down.
Real quick about Cracker Barrel. Yesterday on Fox News, they happened to have a video of the former, I think it was the CEO or partner of Cracker Barrel. He's 80-something years old, and he was totally upset about how his company was being taken care of with the new, as he put it, communist regime. He said that sales were not down. He said sales are up. They have expanded from coast to coast, and he thinks that the girl should be fired who made the decision. He said, quote, I'm not sure why she left Taco Bell to come to Cracker Barrel, but there's no similarities between Taco Bell and Cracker Barrel.
Do you know that CEO, that young woman who's CEO at Cracker Barrel is the same CEO who got rid of the Mexican pizza at Taco Bell? And that tells you everything you need to know right there. What a tragedy that was, my friend.
And I love the Mexican pizza.
I did too. All right. Thank you. I appreciate your call.
I also wanted to just throw out there the reason why people are buying vehicles right now, John, because I come out of that side of buying vehicles, is their vehicle that they're trading in is worth a little bit more money. So it's kind of like trading up out of a two-room house into a four-room house. A lot of it's being done, most of it, according to Cox Automotive and Kelley Blue Book, is being done by boomers who are spending cash instead of financing it.
Well, who are these boomers with cash? They're not the ones I know.
There's a lot of
you know, another thing, you reminded me of another reason why car sales are up is because we've reached that point again where the average U.S. automobile is owned by people is like 12 years old. I remember that happening about 20 years ago. And when the Great Recession ended, car sales went through the roof because people kept their vehicles during the recession. And now we're at the situation where the average age of a family car is, I think, over 10 years old. I got to run, John. I appreciate your call. Let's go to JT. I hate to make people wait, so I'm going to go to JT. So you, the Fox News update can, hey, you Fox News guys, can you hold on? They're going to hold on and wait for JT to talk from Gardnerville. Hey, JT, John Potter here. I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Hi, JT. Good morning. Or John. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, John.
Hey, I probably met you a while ago, but hey, you're talking about the diners and Gardnerville, Minden, places to eat. One place. Yeah, you know, I am from the South. I love my chicken fried steak. And there's really only one place that makes the real chicken fried steak down here at the Grill next door. But I do love Cowboys, and I do love Wydette's as well. But I do love my chicken fried steak, and there's one go-to place. They only serve it on weekends in the morning, and then they just happen to have it on their dinner special this week. So I went two nights in a row.
There is nothing like a chicken fried steak that is juicy. What is the name of this place? Just the Grill?
The Grill Next Door.
The Grill?
And it's,
I've never
heard the Grill Next Door, further down from the museum. And
Carson Valley Museum. Okay.
Right. And it's all their food is phenomenal. It's a great, I mean, I love the place. It's cozy. It's like a diner. It's tucked into a little strip mall, sort of right next to the Gardnerville post office.
I will be haunting that place, my friend. I appreciate that. It's hard to tear myself away from Cowboy Cafe and Wydette's.
Yeah, you know what? It was for me, too. But I still like Cowboys. Mm-hmm. But if I want the real deal, I go to Grill Next Door. And being from a Southern boy,
and I haven't been to Wydette's lately, but I've heard this troubling news that they did away with the salad bar. That better not be true. I will come down there.
I haven't seen it there.
Well, if it happened, I'm moving. All right, my friend, take care. JT, have a great day in Gardnerville. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday 9 to noon. Time for Fox News. Our phone number 884-9910, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk, time 10:35.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
Back, John Potter here, live and local. Thank you, Greg Neft, and also everybody here for, well, things like that great weather forecast. Our current temperature is 74 degrees. I want to bring up the heat, but I don't know. You can't do anything about the weather, as they say. I got an interesting email from Facebook. Hi, John. Thanks for confirming your identity. We have unlocked your account, and you should now be able to log in. We're sorry for the inconvenience. If you have any problems getting back into your account, please let us know. Thanks. I have no idea. They blocked. They said my Facebook did not meet community standards, and they blocked it. They said you can appeal. So I, texted back, I'm appealing, and they asked me to send a video, or it's the dumbest. I don't have any idea how this happened. My Facebook page is the most innocuous, boring Facebook page you could have. It's romantic. There's a lot of pictures of, because it's my life now. It's my life is my health, my wife, our travel, my job here, and my outings that I enjoy, like my favorite restaurants in my little towns and things like that. That's my life now, and that's all my Facebook had. There's not one political thing on my Facebook page. There was not one political thing on my KTVN John Potter Facebook page. But the TV station has locked me out of that and has still to this day locked me out, which is a damn shame, because there was a lot of good, interesting, local, helpful news on that Facebook page, which ironically, that one is still up. I see it, but I can't get into it because they won't give me what's called the key to get into it. They hold the key. KTVN John Potter, you can still look at it. There's a lot of good stuff there, and I wish I could get on that. But my personal Facebook page, whatever I did, there's somebody out there just did not like that. I don't know, that picture of my cats or so. I don't know. Very, very puzzling. So anyway, it's back. I did enjoy the week off from Facebook. When they blocked me, I thought, well, who cares? Wasn't a big deal. And actually, I found time to read my books and things like that. I did not miss Facebook at all. It was a dumb thing for them to do. I bet they lose a lot of subscribers because they see life without Facebook is actually Kind of interesting, to step outside. I don't know. Let's go to Jay calling in 884-9910. He is heading to Utah. Hey, Jay, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Well, good morning, John. We left Reno about 5 this morning, and we're on the salt flats right now as we speak. And 95% of the semis that we see on the road here are unmarked. And we've taken this trip many, many times. And the usual Hunt and FedEx, you see a few of them, and the major truckers you see. But 95% of these semis are unmarked. And I wonder if it has something to do with that accident in Florida.
I'm going to take off on this one. Jay, thank you so much. I know you're headed out there. You're driving. But, wow, that's an eye-opener. The whole story was an eye-opener. Earlier this week, kind of a blockbuster story. Thank you, Jay. I'll let you go. A blockbuster story about illegals driving big rigs and, shockingly, migrants who speak very little English and don't understand, you know, the traffic signs. And somebody was killed in Florida by somebody who got a CDL and could barely speak English and didn't know what the signs were. I'm going to just run with this one. So I'm going to take a break first, okay? Thank you, Jay, for reminding me of this. I'm John Potter, 884-9910. I want to talk about the effects in Reno, specifically sparks of this, okay? 884-9910, I'm going to go on a rant monologue after the break, so I would call after that, okay? I don't want to make you guys wait. But anyway, that's up next. Going to take the break right now. Be back very shortly on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1040.
Live streaming at 991FMTalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Current temperature, 74 degrees. I'm John Potter, live and local. Let's see if I can do this topic in 10 minutes. I doubt I can. This is one of those that takes a full half hour or even hour topic. The gentleman who just called and reminded me, gosh, I'm so glad he did call. I wasn't going to mention this, but this was news. Earlier this week, kind of a blockbuster story about illegals driving big rigs and migrants who speak very little English. They don't understand most traffic signs, and they're getting CDLs, licenses to drive trucks. This week, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy threatened to pull federal funding for 3 states if they do not comply within 30 days to enforce the English language proficiency requirement for commercial truck drivers. Duffy said the new move against Washington, California, and New Mexico is about keeping people safe on the road. He emphasized the importance of truck drivers being able to understand road signs, communicate with law enforcement, and respond to official inquiries. And the move comes after, as our caller reminded me, of the illegal immigrant who was accused of making an illegal U-turn on the Florida Turnpike, resulting in a crash that killed 3 people. Harjinder Singh, the undocumented truck driver accused of causing the crash, entered the U.S. illegally in 2018 and now faces multiple criminal charges. He's been denied bond and labeled a flight risk after he fled to California the day after the crash. The transportation secretary told Fox News, "You must be able to speak English and understand road signs to operate a truck. Follow the rules established by in your state or there will be serious consequences." Now, our truckers, the ones I know, the ones I've interviewed in the past, are good old boys and gals, and I feel you can count on them. They are the knights of the road, if you will. And I think that those truck drivers in that era, I think they're passing on and passing away. And the issues they have in Florida and California, we have them here too. In Sparks, off McCarran, you know where the roundabout is? You have Western Village on one side, and the apartments on the other, and you have all these trucks coming out of Sierra Sids, and I think there's a trucking company there too, a parking lot full of semis. And as they come out of there, I was told, okay, because I had asked somebody, why is this keep happening where the trucks get stuck on the roundabout? And I was told that they have a sign right there as the truck leaves that gated parking lot next to Western Village. I'm told there's a sign that tells the truck drivers, don't turn right when you get out of the parking lot onto Nichols Boulevard, because you got the roundabout. And it's a rather small roundabout. If you looked at it, you could know that no semi could get to go around it. I mean, and apparently there's a sign that says, don't turn right. Turn left to get on 80. Don't turn right. And the deal is, folks, and no TV station has done this story. I wish they would. If I were Channel 2, I would do this story tomorrow. The deal is 6, 7, 8 times every summer, and I'm not exaggerating, they will have a truck driver pull out and not only turn right, ignoring the sign if it's there, but drive right into that roundabout, because a tractor trailer is way too long to turn on this roundabout. It's bad road design. I don't know why Sparks would put it there next to a trucking operation, because it doesn't work with tractor trailers. And I'm sorry, but that's a special brand of stupid. I mean, I don't know if the drivers get overconfident or if they're just complacent, but now I'm thinking, can they read the sign? And that's a new concern now. I don't want to throw shade at truck drivers, and especially foreign-born truck drivers, because I'm sure a lot of them are great. But you wonder, like the guy in Florida, out of California, there were 12 English language questions he had to answer. He got two. And the road signs, I think there were 4 signs on the test, of which he was able to recognize one. And 2 states gave him a CDL. California, for sure. I think the other was Washington. And you just fear that there are other people like that on our roads. Is that a trend? Absolutely, it seems there is. I mean, having English proficiency was part of getting your CDL license, right? And I think even going back to about a year now, they've been trying to crack down on non-English speaking truck drivers. But like many other industries, you know, it's give somebody a job for a little less to save some money. And then sadly, you get these issues where it backfires and becomes often fatal for others around the trucks. You know, there was a time growing up, I had this wanderlust when I was little. I was enthralled by shows like Route 66 or The Fugitive. I read Time Life hardback book, The Desert, over and over. I would dream of travel as a boy. And I remember telling my mother at 13 years old, I wanted to be a truck driver. And she cried. And after Channel 2 showed me the door, 2021, I began to think of it again. I used to think that would be a great fallback career. I even thought about going to truck driving school when I was between jobs. I actually did go out to the truck driving school in Mustang, and I checked it out a few years ago before KKFT and my wife saved me. But talking to the people who I know who do long-haul trucking, I just heard too much from them about the, not just the problem of unqualified drivers, but also the jackassery of other cars around them. You know, we just had an incident yesterday, truck driver following all the rules of the road, going down westbound 80, just past Donner Pass Road exit, out by Soda Springs, and some nitwit in a car pulling a trailer pulled in front of him with hardly any room to spare, and the big rig swerves and ends up in a ditch. And it took hours to get things going again. I think at least one lane was closed. I know the truck driver was injured. CHP went looking for the car that caused it. I haven't heard the result of that. But I mean, even if you check all the boxes and you're the greatest truck driver in the world, the people around you don't give a crap, and they get in front of you and they hit the brake and they think you can stop on a dime. And then I saw, well, there are just tons of videos that pop up on YouTube of 18-wheeler dash cams, and you're just like, oh my God, we need to open up like bad driver asylums, right? My cousin's wife is a truck driver. She got an award for 2 million miles accident-free. 2 million miles, can you imagine? I'll never reach that in my life. So, you know, just driving my car. So there are drivers out there who are still professionals and great, and we respect them. But again, they've got morons on the road all around them, and increasingly they've got fellow truck drivers who don't have two brain cells to rub together, or who don't know English, or who don't know signs. Kelly probably, you know, my cousin's wife doesn't even need a map. And she knows every fried fish place across the country. She's getting fried catfish almost every day, everywhere she goes. And she's going to send you a picture of it. My buddies at Drive Truck, they all know where the good food is. They know the clean restaurants and who's got the good showers. But it's not what it used to be. I guess that's, what can you say? That's the situation. And like a lot of things, it's sadly getting worse. I'm John Potter, live and local, breaking for Fox News now. See, I couldn't fit it in 10 minutes. I'm sorry. We'll be right back.